Guys, if you would, turn to Numbers chapter 34, and we're going to be going through the whole chapter tonight. Numbers chapter 34, the appointed boundaries of Canaan. And then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, command the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land of Canaan, this is the land that shall fall to you as an inheritance, the land of Canaan to its boundaries. The southern border shall be from the wilderness of Zin along the border of Edom. And your southern border shall extend eastward to the end of the Salt Sea. Your border shall turn from the southern side to the ascent of Akrabim, continue in Zin on the south side of Kadesh Barnea. Then you shall go to Hazar and Adar and continue to Asmon. And the border shall be turned from Asmon to the brook of Egypt, and it shall end to the sea. And I'm just going to stop right there and remind us of a few things from last week. Last week was all about Israel's journey from Egypt. And I encouraged the guys last week to look at Numbers chapter 33 as Moses reviewed each of these pit stops. And there was 40 pit stops that these guys camped at. And the Lord had them review, and the Lord had Moses review these to the people of Israel. For us, I felt like what the Lord wanted us to do was to make a timeline of our life. And the center of the timeline of our life would be when we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And then we would base that timeline from the past into the future. And the whole purpose of the thing was to see how faithful He has been. How faithful He has been to meet us in some maybe of our darkest moments. Meet us in some of our most exciting moments. And just meet us even as we were right here, if you guys remember that last week. And I pray that you did that. So as Moses went through and he reviewed all these things, the purpose was to remember how faithful the Lord was all those 40 years. And think of everything that those guys saw. And think of all the failures that they saw. And think of all the successes that they saw. And I pray that we did that last week. And I would encourage you, if you guys were not here, I would encourage you guys to do that. And just sit down and ponder that a bit. Here's a few verses we can take to heart just to kind of kickstart us on our timeline again. Hebrews 13, verse 5 through 6 says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. The Lord never will leave us. Look at your timeline. Is that not true? Philippians 1, 6, being confident in this very thing, that He has begun a good work and you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. The Lord will finish what He started. Look back over our life. We're not the same, Lord willing, when we got saved as we were before we got saved, right? He's been working. He's doing this finishing work. And then John 14, verse 16 through 18, I pray that the Father, He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him. For He dwells with you and will be in you. And I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Since we've been saved, I pray we've never felt alone. Because you know what? We've never been alone. Because the Lord Jesus Christ took residence up in our body. He gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit. Oswald Chambers said this, we sometimes wrongly illustrate faith in God by the faith of a business person in a bind. Faith commercially is based on calculation. But religious faith cannot be illustrated by the kind of faith we exhibit in life. Faith in God is a terrific venture in the dark. I have to believe that God is good in spite of all that contradicts it in my experience. It's not easy to say God is love when everything happens actually gives lie to it. Everyone's soul represents some kind of battlefield. The point for each one is whether he or she will hang in as Job did and say, though things look black, I will trust in God. And I pray as we looked at our timeline that that would be the thing that would come to the forefront of that. That, man, I can put my trust in the Lord because He's proven Himself so faithful. Okay? Now think about this. Numbers chapter 33 was a review of everywhere they've been, and everywhere they've been is everywhere that they've gone through, right? Numbers chapter 34 is going to be when they enter into the promised land and the boundaries that the Lord is going to set. And we're going to look at some things. But first, I'm going to go ahead and read through the first 15 verses. And then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, command the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land of Canaan, this is the land you shall fall as an inheritance, the land of Canaan to its boundaries. Your southern border shall be from the wilderness of Zin along the border of Edom. And then Your southern border shall extend eastward to the Salt Sea. Your border shall turn from the southern side to the ascent of Akramim somewhere, continue to Zin, and to be the south Kadesh Barnea. And then you shall go to Hazar Adar and continue to Asmon. And the border shall turn from Asmon to the brook of Egypt, and it shall end at the sea. For the western border, you shall have a great sea for the border. This shall be your western border. And this shall be your northern border. From the great sea, you shall mark out your borderline to Mount Horar. And then you shall mark your border to the entrance of Hamath. And the direction of the border shall be to Zedad. And the border shall proceed to Zephron and shall end at Hazar Enon. This shall be your northern border. You shall mark out your eastern border from Hazar Enon to Shepham. And the border shall go down to Shepham to on the east side of An. And then the border shall go down to reach the eastern side of the sea of Shinaria. And the border shall go along the Jordan, and it shall end at the Salt Sea. This shall be the land with its surrounding boundaries. And then the Lord commanded the children of Israel, saying, this is the land which you shall inherit by lot, which the Lord has commanded and given to the nine tribes and the half tribe. For the tribe of the children of Reuben, according to the house of their fathers, and the tribe of the children of Gad, according to the house of their fathers, they received their inheritance. The half-tribe of Manasseh received its inheritance. The two tribes and half-tribes have received their inheritance on the side of the Jordan across from Jericho eastward toward the sunrise. And just think about this. We already looked at this, and we're going to just kind of ping this again later on. So these guys are on the wrong side of the Jordan, okay? And they're going to go, and you know the first battle that's going to occur when they get over across the Jordan is, of course, Jericho, right? Now think about this just for a minute. For the guys that are going to march around, because some of those guys are going to have to come and go and march around, they're going to see the walls fall. What are their families going to think when they see that? I'm thinking if I'm there and I'm camped out, all right, and they see Jericho and they see those walls, I'm thinking maybe this was a bad idea. And the Lord just laid that on my heart right now. I want to ask you a question. Who in here is competitive? I know every one of you are, so raise your hand. Please. Okay? I just wanted you to own it. You guys don't want to watch someone else play the game. None of us do. What was it for those other folks to see the walls of Jericho? Man, I wish I would have been in that game. Man, we never want to be there. And we're going to talk about this in a little bit. But the Lord just laid that on my heart. So verses 3 through 5, the southern border of the land. Verses 6, the western border of the land. 7 and 9, the northern border and the eastern border. And verse 13 through 15, we'll come back to this later. But here's what I want us to do. I want us to focus on three words, or a few words. I want us to focus on the word when. I want us to focus on the word shall fall, and I want us to focus on the word inheritance. First, the word when. The Lord says, when you come into the land. He didn't say if. He didn't say probably or maybe. He said when. You know, when is an incredible word in the biblical context, because when what preludes the Lord is going to do something. And I think for some of us, you know what? We don't live in the when in our relationship with the Lord. We live in the if, well, maybe, probably, well, oh, He'll probably do that for me. We don't live in the when. The when itself, W-H-E-N, is all about taking those steps of faith and believing the Lord Jesus Christ is going to do what He said He's going to do. When? When you enter into the promised land. It's a wonderful word in the Bible. And I got to ask you a question. Are you really living in the word when? Because, man, we're all headed somewhere. If we're in Christ, we're headed somewhere. The Lord has this incredible thing planned for us. Are we living in when? Are we just kind of nonchalant? Okay, I'll give you a perfect example how I believe some of us are in the Christian walk. If you ever went to a peewee baseball game, okay, or maybe a t-ball baseball game, all right, the kids that are really not gamers, you know where they stick them? In the outfield. Okay, you know why they stick them in the outfield? They have no interest being there. Their parents just signed them up. You know what they do in the outfield? They pick the flowers. They're not really paying attention to the game. Okay? That's not what God's called us to. And I think sometimes that's how we go about our Christian life. We're just kind of, instead of looking with great expectation, when? The Lord has great plans for everyone in this room. And the number one plan is to make us more like Christ. But man, we've got to be willing to get out there and take those steps and put ourselves in situations to see the Lord move and the Lord work. And you know what else the word when, I believe, does? It should direct our hearts to worship. Right? When you think of when the Lord's going to move. Revelation 22, verse 6 through 8. The subtitle was, "The time is near." And then he said to me, "The words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place." And then Jesus says, "Behold, I'm coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words, the prophecy of this book." Now John saw and heard these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down and worshiped before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. When? Man, if you come here on a Wednesday or a Sunday, come in the spirit of when. I believe the Lord is going to speak to me. You know, if you go to a conference or if you go to a thing, you're blown away because God spoke to you. You know why? You expected it. You expected it. Now, the guy that the Lord may have used may have been a gifted communicator. The worship person may have been a gifted worship person. But the bottom line, the Lord talked through a donkey. Okay? The Lord talked through a donkey. The Lord chooses His instruments and He uses His instruments. We should show up here with great expectation to hear from the Lord and to hear a word from the Lord because we're opening His Bible. We're going through His Word. It's not by accident. Guess what? We're in Numbers chapter 34 tonight. It's by design. When? Vance Havner said this, "God is faithful and He expects His people to be faithful. God's Word speaks of faithful servants, faithful in the few things, faithful in the least, faithful in the Lord, and faithful ministers, and all points to that when we will say, when He will say, when, okay, when, it's going to happen one day. Well done, good and faithful servant." True faith shows up in faithfulness. Not everyone can sing or preach, but all can be faithful. That's a good word for Mr. Havner. Now let's look at the words "shall fall." So he says, "And then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Command the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land of Canaan, this land that shall fall to you shall fall.'" Remember, these guys are called to go into the land by faith in the Lord, going forward with the Lord and all that He has for them. Remember, it's a done deal. And this is the realm of "shall fall to you." That's exciting, but also remember this. The Lord knows what's best and what is best suited for us in regards to Him getting the glory. We must accept what God assigns to us and not complain and covet what others possess. You know what? I always wanted to play football, believe it or not. All right? In my neighborhood, we would watch the Cowboys play every Sunday, and then after the Cowboy game, we would go down and play. And at that time, the Cowboys were really good because they had some character. They were pretty good. They had Tom Landry. They had Roger Staubach. They were worth watching, in my opinion, okay? And guess what, man? I wanted to be Roger Staubach. That didn't fall to me. I'm not Peyton Manning. I'm not built like Peyton Manning. That's not what the Lord had for me. You know, there's some things that shall fall to us, and then there's some things that shall not fall to us. See, some land fronted on the wilderness, or their portions faced the great sea. Some tribes had mountains in their territories. Remember, man, if we would just really get a hold of this and learn this and run with this, there's some things that God just does not have for us to do. And that's not disappointing. That's not disappointing. Not everyone who pastors a church is going to be a part pastoring some big mega something. That's for those who that shall fall to. Not everybody that picks up a guitar is going to be, you know, on the cover of a CD. That's what our culture wants to produce. That's not what the Lord has. You know, what does the Lord have? What shall fall to us? And remember this as well, and think about this. The inheritance or the boundaries that were set for each little tribe, the Lord said, you know what, this will be the best place for you to thrive and grow in. Think about that. That you guys love to give gifts to your kids, right? You don't wait till the day before Christmas, do you, and just go to Walmart? You might, yeah, but I know Joan does. And just throw stuff in the cart, do you? You put thought into it, don't you? I know Joan does. You already started looking. I know Stephen does when he gets something for his daughters. He puts thought into it and says, you know, what would best bless her? What would best bless Jessica or Stephanie or Tricia? And I know you guys do the same as well. Does not the Lord do the same? Wow. What would best bless them? Man, they have no idea that being right here in this lot, that this shall fall to them. You know, not everybody's a Caleb. Caleb said, you know what, give me the mountain range where the giants are. Not everybody is a Caleb. And we need to remember that as well. Remember what Jesus said? And this is instruction about ambition. And then the mothers of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. And he said to her, what do you wish? And she said to him, grant that these two sons of mine may sit on your right hand and on your left in your kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, you do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink with the cup that I'm to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I'm to be baptized with? And they said to him, we are able. So he said to them, you will indeed drink the cup and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left, that's not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it's been prepared for by my Father. And then when the ten heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise great authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. Whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. It shall fall to you. Guys, not all of us, like I said, are Calebs. But every one of us, if we're in Christ, are one of God's kids. And God has an incredible place mapped out for us where we could get the most joy. Think about that. It's so easy in our culture to compare. You know, there's always going to be what? There's always going to be someone better looking. There's always going to be someone taller. There's always going to be someone faster, stronger, smarter. There's always going to be someone who has more of this or more of that. It'll drive you nuts. Don't do it. It's crazy. Enjoy what the Lord has given us. And you know what? When we don't enjoy what the Lord has given us, guess what? It becomes so mundane and we forget how blessed we are. The last word, inheritance. And you know what? David Guzik said this so much better. I'm going to read what he said. Israel was going to have to take control of the promised land by conquest. They would have to drive out the Canaanites to possess it. Yet they should have never considered that the land was given to them because they earned it. It was given to them by God as an inheritance. Inheritance are freely given. They're not earned. If you guys leave anything to your kids, and I'm not prying into your business, it's none of my business. They didn't earn it. It's not theirs. Is that not one of the most insulting things ever as a parent to actually think your kids, you owe your kids something? You know what? My dad would have a cow if I even brought that up to him and said, well, you're getting kind of on up there in years. You might need to Taylor, you're spending. You're cutting into my stash. WAP is right. I didn't spend 33 years out at Texas Utilities working shift work, 12-hour days. My dad did. He earned that. That's his to do with whatever he wants to. I didn't do anything to earn it. If he freely gives me something, well, then praise God. If he freely doesn't, oh, well, it's not mine. Now, here's the thing. We've inherited something too. But you know what happens? What we do sometimes with the gift of salvation, We think somewhere along the way that we earned it. We forget that it was a gift that was freely given to us by our Lord Jesus Christ and the price that He paid upon the cross. Man, we can never get away from this incredible inheritance that we've been given from Christ. Let's don't get away from that. We didn't earn it. And remember, the picture of going across the Jordan and into the Promised Land is a picture of the reality, the way the Christian life is supposed to be, continually claiming new land by faith. There's conflict. But understand, we don't earn anything. The Lord, who knocked down the walls of Jericho? God did. They didn't do anything. Or that's what they're going to learn. Redemption in Christ, Ephesians. I've shared this with you for the past few weeks when we talked about inheritance and how blessed we are. Chapter 1, verse 3 through 4. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. We're to walk by faith into all that the Lord has for us. But remember, at the end of the day, we did not earn it. It was a gift. And what an incredible gift that the Lord would give us eternal life. Okay, if that's all we get is eternal life, what an incredible gift. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I'm amazed at myself and sometimes other Christians as well. As you know what, we treat this whole gift of salvation as just kind of a nonchalant thing. And we forget what an incredible gift it is. And so, you know, I pray as we walk with the Lord and as we're taking steps with the Lord, that the main thing that would be manifest as we're getting closer to going home to be with the Lord is just the sense of humility and brokenness in our lives. Not that we've attained anything and we're big stuff. Not at all. So those three words, win, shall fall, and inheritance. And I pray we would take those and maybe add that to our timeline. Now verse 14 through 15, these words say it all. And I think I'll just go ahead and read this. For the tribe of Reuben, according to the house of their fathers, and the tribe of the children of Gad, according to the house of their fathers, they've received their inheritance, and the half-tribe of Manasseh have received their inheritance. The two tribes and the half-tribe received their inheritance on the side of the Jordan across from Jericho, eastward towards the sunrise. Though the lands on the eastern side of the Jordan belong to Israel, okay, those lands are not considered the promised land. Canaan is on the other side of the Jordan. That is the promised land. And here's the thing. Here's just a couple of more words. Guys, we never want to be in the place of this right here. According to the house of their fathers, they made that decision. Remember that. We don't want to be there. According to the house of your fathers, in our walk with the Lord. Remember, salvation is free, but discipleship should cost us something. It should cost us something. Luke 9:62 says, "But Jesus said to him, 'No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God.'" And you know what? It is so foreign to our culture to deny ourselves and pick up our cross and follow Jesus. We live in a culture that is all about pushing indulgence. Okay, that's what we live in. Indulgence. You know, and this is not a knock against obese people. Okay, I'm not being mean. I'm being very sensitive. But when I was a kid, and you go to Walmart, there wasn't none of those little battery operated three wheeler things for people because they wasn't needed. They wasn't needed. Now those things are needed. I've never seen, when I was a kid, even when I was a teenager, I don't remember seeing people getting as big as they are now. And that's not a knock, okay? Because You know what? Those folks that have that issue, can you imagine having that much weight on your body and how painful it is and how uncomfortable it is? And you already know physically it's destroying. It's destroying that person. I'm not being mean. I'm not being mean. Indulgence. It's what? The bigger house, the more cars, it's this. I mean, that's what media pushes, is it not? And you know what? You can take that and put that within the confines of ministry. A ministry is not really substantial unless it's what? Unless it's big. But you know what? What did Jesus say? What did Jesus say to the church in Philadelphia? Though your strength is small, this is a little old podunk situation. That's the only one Jesus didn't rebuke. Something to think about. We never want to be in the place of, man, this is what our Father's just decided. So here we are. And think about this. They're sitting here and they're watching all their livestock. Wow, this is a real nice place. And then all of a sudden they hear, what? What? Did you? Wow, I can see on the other side of that now. Man, that's a beautiful place. It's more beautiful than this place right here. What, are we stupid? When you go camping and you think you find the perfect campsite and then you go walking, you find one that's so much better. But then, see, here's the thing. You found one so much better, but you got the tent set up, you got the stuff set up, and you're like, well, let's just walk over there and hang out. So as we look at this, remember, we're looking at pictures. We're looking at pictures. In a sense, we're looking at pictures of the Christian life. You know, if we choose not to live in the wind, then we're just being blown in the wind. Okay? If we choose to not to live in shall fall, then we're always discontent. So-and-so has more of this, and so-and-so has more of this, and we're not really blessed with what the Lord has given us that He handpicked for us. Okay? Handpicked for us. We're not enjoying our salvation fully if we think it's something we've earned and we forget that it's been a free gift. It's an inheritance. And then finally, we never want to be in the place right here where we're enjoying our stuff and then we hear the walls fall down and then we look over there and we're like, wow, that is beautiful, but man, this is where I'm stuck. Okay? Let's look at the leaders appointed to divide the land. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, these are the names of the men who shall divide the land among you as an inheritance. See, it wasn't a free-for-all. It wasn't a grab. The Lord handpicked certain individuals. Okay? He put in place in leadership. Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun. And these guys are to take one leader of every tribe to divide the land of the inheritance. This wasn't the Oklahoma land rush. You know, people got shot in that thing. You know, if you tried to cheat or if you tried to go stake out, they had soldiers there and you would get shot. You know, when, you know, they had the wagons and it was just pandemonium. No, this was very organized because the Lord had specific places designed for specific people and the Lord set leadership in place to help those people receive all that He had for them. Okay, now just keep that thought in the back of our mind for a minute. These are the names of the men from the tribe of Judah. Caleb, from the tribe of the children of Simeon, Shimimul, the son of Ammihud, and a bunch of other guys. I'm not going to read that. Let's get to the good stuff. Okay? There's some good guys there. Issachar. These are the ones the Lord commanded to divide the inheritance among the children of Israel in the land of Canaan. God assigned tribes to their inheritance, set their boundaries, but He used human leaders to get His plan accomplished. Now this is what I pray we take to heart as we look at this. And I pray we will be blessed next time if we'll really grab a hold of this. Next time we're called to serve in the land that's been appointed to us by the Lord. if we're in Christ, we have been called to be leaders in some way, right? Every one of us. Now, here's the blessing. What a privilege it is to help people claim their inheritance. What a privilege it is. Every one of us are leaders if we're saved in some form, in some fashion. And did we ever think that part of our service is helping that other person along in their walk with the Lord and claim what God has for them? That's ministry. You know what? Ministry's going over to Diane's house, planting some flowers, and encouraging her in her walk with the Lord as she's going through a tough stretch, helping her to claim her inheritance. We were more blessed probably than she was. But let me ask you this. You think, well, yeah, that's a special set of circumstances. She has stage 4 cancer. She has this autistic son. Yeah, that's really cool. But is it not even cooler to stand at that door and welcome people in and hand them a bulletin and let them feel at ease? Say, come on in here. Let's claim your inheritance. You know, shake their hand. Hug them. Pray with them. So many times we get... You know what? If everybody is focused on serving everybody else, then guess what? Everybody gets served. Everybody does. See, ministry, in a biblical sense, and I think maybe in our country we miss this, is all about the other person. In this culture, sometimes it's all about me. I had a person tell me one time that, you know, they wanted to do this, they wanted to do that, and really I'm like, okay, we're in the living room in my house. I don't really feel comfortable with you coming over to my house and cleaning my house. Okay? I don't want people to know that you come over to my house and clean it, because that makes me look lazy. It makes my wife look lazy. Okay? I appreciate it. Well, can I mow your yard? No, you can't mow my yard. Because, you know, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but you know, it's not a good witness for me for you to mow my yard. I didn't tell them all this. And then they want to do this, they want to do that. Okay, we're in our living room. This is where we're at with the Lord right now. And this person said, well, I'm just not getting my ministry needs met. Well, there's a whole city! You got to be kidding me! I didn't say that. I mean, I don't even think my face said that. I'm like, I've never heard that before. So you're saying that ministering to people is all about you having some need met? How warped is that? What does that sound like? It sounds about, hey, it's about me. You know, when Steve gets up here and he leads worship, it's all about helping us claim some of our inheritance. When these guys back here are doing this or working with college students, it's all about them claiming someone's else, helping them claim their other inheritance. What an incredible privilege. Think about this. If you're one of the tribal leaders, all right, think about this. These guys have been walking around for 40 years, all right? Camping here, camping there, camping here, camping there. And this is like, hey, come here. This is your place. What do you mean? This is my place? You mean God gave this to me? Yes, this is your inheritance. You mean yeah. What an incredible privilege. Is it not an incredible privilege to lead someone to the Lord or disciple someone or take someone aside and pray with them? And so many times, you know what we do? We get puffed up and we think we're this super spiritual person and said, you know what? Be like Jesus Christ, who took the lowest seat in the house and washed some stinking feet. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 through 27 says, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members are of that one body, being many, one body, so also in Christ. For by the Spirit we are baptized into the body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand and I'm not the body, is it therefore not the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were a hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. He did, that's your lot. And if they were one member, where would they be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which seem to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts, greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, and having given greater honor to that body which lacks it, that there should be no cynicism in the body, but the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all members suffers with it. If one member is honored, all members rejoice with it. The body of Christ. Our service to the Lord is about the Lord and helping His kids along and enter all He has for them. Jesus said this in Mark chapter 10, verse 43 through 45. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. Whoever desires to be first shall be the slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life for a ransom of many. What an incredible blessing. Now one last thought before we finish this chapter. It's one thing we need to know about this chapter. Even though the boundaries were set, it was a done deal, these guys still settled for less, and it would cost them. If you read Joshua chapter 15, verse 63, or 16, verse 10, or 17, verse 11 through 13, or Judges 1, chapter 1, 21 through 35, we find out they did not feed all their enemies and claim all the land by faith. And it cost them just like the Lord said it would. Remember what Moses said? But if you do not drive out the inhabitants from before you, then it shall be those whom you let remain shall be irritants to your eyes, thorns to your sides. They shall harass you in the land where you dwell. Moreover, it shall be that I will do to you as I thought I would do to them. So here's the point for us. All right. Are we settling for less? The Lord has laid it all out. Here it is. It's all yours. And in a sense, guess what? They said, this is enough. Do we have the same type of heart with Jesus? Okay, this is enough, Jesus, for me. I'm good. I'm comfortable. I got enough. I'm good. Jesus said this about Himself. How could we ever say this is enough, Jesus? You know what? When we get beat up, who gets beat up in the world? We do. You know, Jonathan right now has got just such a wonderful life. And he thinks, you know, the worst case scenario is not getting more yogurt with Cheerios or whatever, right? He has no idea what the world has for him. He has no idea. And Lord, oh my goodness, the world's going to probably be way worse off when he's my age if the Lord tarries and does not come back. I pray he does come back. But I also pray that my son would be a disciple of Christ, not just someone saved by the skin of his teeth, because you know what? He's going to have to be a disciple, maybe by some of the things he will have to face in the future. But how could we ever say, I got enough, Jesus, when Jesus says this Himself, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, come to me, all you are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I'm gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. I got enough, Jesus. I'm good. Jesus, thanks. I'm good. I'm good today. Maybe I'll check in with you tomorrow. See how you're doing. Settle for less. We don't want to make that mistake. If we get irritated today, guess what happened? We probably settle for less. At least that's what I find when I get irritated. Becomes irritants, right? So let's take this home tonight. Let's take this home. Let's grow where the Lord plants us, and where He plants us, we'll be blessed, and those around us will be blessed. And if we lost sight of that, let's ponder these verses right here. John 3:27. Jesus answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it's been given to him from heaven. Everything that we have right now is a gift from the Lord. Everything. 1 Corinthians 4:7. For who makes you differ from one another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you didn't receive it? 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4 through 7. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. and there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Let's don't forget that. At the end of the day, through Christ, we can be content with the lot signed to us. And you know what? Content in our culture is such an ugly word. But in Christian culture, it is a powerful word, because that means, you know what? We're content in the Lord. We're content in Him. We're satisfied in Him. And no matter what is coming our way, you know what? He says, I've got my relationship with the Lord. And if He wants to glorify me in this manner with stage 4 cancer, and this is my lot right now, then praise be to God. Because I know this is a temporary situation, and I know one day I'm going to go home and be with the Lord. Imagine if you got stage 4 cancer and you don't know the Lord. Where are you going to go? It's scary. Imagine how dark life would be. Now, I pray that the Lord, you know, does heal, and I'm praying that He will heal. Philippians 4, verse 11 through 13, Paul said this, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know to be abased. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." And he goes, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And we say, you know what? I got enough, Jesus. That was never Paul's heart. He learned how to be content because, you know what? Just having enough of Jesus was never Paul's heart. He wanted every bit of Jesus he could have, and should we not as well, since we've been given this incredible gift? So here's the deal. I want you to look at your timeline again. I want you to put on that timeline, when shall fall inheritance. Not going to be about my fathers, what they chose, but what the Lord has. I want you to think about what an incredible... Think of all the people, since you have been a Christian, that the Lord has used you to bless them. And look at it in regards to this. Man, I helped them enter into more of the inheritance they have in Christ. What an incredible gift. Okay? Stephen's going to close. And you know what? Let's don't close our hearts to what the Lord may want to do. The finishing touches He may want to do tonight. Want to do the finishing touches He may want to do tonight. Want to do the finishing touches He may want to do tonight. Want to do the finishing touches He may want to do tonight. Want to do the finishing touches He may want to do tonight.